You're listening to the podcast, Carlos Avalon, My Music, My Life. Thank you for tuning in. And now, here's your host, Carlos Avalon.
I should have asked you for your number, and if you'd like for me to go, because I think I really like
you. Now, this episode is coming on the week that most of the world celebrates Mother's Day. And so we thought, what a perfect way to celebrate it by inviting my own siblings, brothers George and Louis, and my sister Connie Marie, so we could share some of our most treasured memories of Mom. Mom is no longer with us, and as I said a year ago on the podcast called A Song for Mom, with her gone, Mother's Day to me went out with her. But now it's simply a day for thinking of her, all that she meant to me, and everything she represented in my life. What better way to start than with her second son, although I tell everyone he's older than I am. Ha-ha, Joe! Anyway, the most talented guy I know, my brother George. Well, to me, he's George, but the full name is George Michael Avala. Hey, George.
Hey, Carlos. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad all three of you agreed to do this. Even Shy Louie, he'll be joining us in a bit. So now tell me, you toured with me in the early days of the career, so you were on the road a lot with me. But then when you stopped touring and I went on my own, you actually lived with Mom for a while as a young guy. So share us your thoughts and your memories.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on your podcast. I'm a frequent listener.
I know you are.
It's wonderful, and I'm glad you're doing this.
Thank you for your support, always.
Absolutely. How do you describe and encompass the life of someone that was the kindest, most gentle, loving, and caring person in the world, at least to me?
And that's
what our mom was. That's what our mom was. And it really became apparent was actually after her death, because so many of her friends or close friends came and told me stories that were profound and just even raised her in my heart.
Yeah.
But we were blessed beyond belief with perhaps the greatest mother that has ever lived. At least, and I say that with the utmost respect for everyone's mother.
Yeah.
And to all of you who still have your mothers, go hug them, love them, and tell them you love them. Because once your mother is gone, everything in life changes.
Yeah, what a void.
It really is. It's almost like becoming an orphan.
Yeah.
And now that we've lost both our parents, which we were blessed to have two fabulous and fantastic parents, it really brings the fact that life is who you surround yourself with and the family that you come from. So we were very, very blessed. And you're right, I did live with Mom and Dad for quite some time, actually. And to me, a mother's story starts when I was 11 years old and first diagnosed with psoriasis, my skin condition that is tormented me for the better part of my life.
Yeah.
Still today.
Yeah.
But Mom, she was just an incredible support mechanism and just a great, wonderful person to be with. And I miss her dearly. And I will continue to miss her every day. And to me, the significance of Mother's Day is now almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you miss someone every day, it's always Mother's Day.
Yeah, and not being able to just pick up the phone and make that call that you at times would need to just to ask a question for what do you think of this or that. Yeah, I
know. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I still have a few of her voicemails.
Yeah.
that at times I'll just listen to her voice to hear it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's it was a dear relationship. It was a I mean, she's beyond the expectations of anyone, of any child.
Yeah,
but,
she. I know. Everything you're saying, I echo. I feel it. Yeah, absolutely.
And as you know, in my life, I've had certain setbacks. Psoriasis being the major one that led me on a very dark journey, starting my drinking at age 17.
Yeah.
And I'm only grateful that the night before Mother died, we had a very long conversation, she and I, and she made me promise that I would never drink again, and I never have.
Yeah.
Actually, I was able to stop drinking prior to, well, right after Father's death.
Yeah.
And Mother, every time we spoke, she was so grateful that that had happened within her lifetime.
Oh, yes.
And you know, I've kept that promise, and I will keep it for the rest of my life. But we were very blessed. We had, I mean, a musical family. The dinners, the get-togethers, the rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah.
Our house was Grand Central Station.
Absolutely.
And we had a mother that was always willing to cater. All my friends would come over, and she'd always feed everybody and give everyone drinks and, you know, help everyone that needed help. She was a magnificent, wonderful mother. I miss her dearly, and I'm glad you're doing this because she is someone that deserves tribute. Very much so.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so funny because she was also, Dad was always wrapped up with work and his music and his regular jobs that he didn't pay as much attention to all the details of our life. Mom was the tough one. She was the disciplinarian in the family. And now we treasure that she was because everything
right.
that we are was really her doing. You know, if we behave well, if were proper. So that actually, looking back, is one thing that I appreciate more.
You know, again, we were blessed to live in a time where even her beliefs on racism, things that are, you know, continuously being a problem here in our society, Mother and Father both were so far ahead.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I remember them. You treat everyone with the same respect.
Yeah,
everyone,
never.
Regardless. No, it was very unusual. And you treat the janitor as you treat the CEO of a company because everyone, every human being is, you know, should be respected equally.
Yeah.
And to have had that upbringing, it was extremely, you know, just fortunate for all of us.
Absolutely. That's another thing we both admire. We all admire. I mean, here they were born in the early part of the last century, and they did not have any, never felt any ounce of racism or prejudice of any kind with both mom and dad. And that's admirable.
Oh, absolutely. Especially for folks, you know. In that time period.
Yeah, yeah.
It was,
I'm hate to say this, but, you know, Portuguese, old-timer Portuguese folks, especially coming from where they were coming from. So, yeah, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And with the wars in Africa and everything
absolutely,
that happened
absolutely.
To Portugal. So, we were absolutely blessed beyond belief. And you know, no one can say anything about our mother, and that in and of itself is a wonderful fact.
Yeah, that's the tribute to her. Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, George, as I mentioned, introducing you, the most talented guy I know, so I know there's a million other reasons to eventually have you as a guest talking about other interests of yours, other things that you've done. So that'll happen. But listen, I know you're busy. I thank you for taking the time to do this. Love you, bro.
Oh, absolutely.
And you couldn't be here in studio, Louis and Connie will because they're closer to where I'm at. But thanks for doing this. Thanks for all the support. And, you know, Mom would be proud we were doing this.
Absolutely. I love you. And you continue with your podcast and keep going.
Thanks so much, George. Ciao.
All right. Bye-bye.
Here we are. Now we're going on to my bebé. That means the baby in Portuguese. My one and only little sister, my baby sister, and you will always be my baby sister. And you're actually here in studio with me. Do you know that, Connie Marie? This is making history. You're the first
that.
In studio guest.
Wow.
I hope this comes out okay. Hi, sweetheart. How you doing? Thanks
Hi.
For doing this.
Hi, honey. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. I'm very honored to be a guest on your show. Most of the guests on your show are artists and, you know, important people. And, you know, I really feel important today.
Well, you are as important as any of them. And you know what? Remember, you started out as a big stage star artist. Connie started on stage with me. And you know what I think is so interesting? George just spoke, and Mom would be very happy with this because we started together in a band, and she always loved it when we did things in concert, when we were working together.
That is so true. Mom, she beamed. Totally, her face shined, everything, when she saw us perform together. Mom just loved having all her children together. She was one of those moms that, you know, her kids were everything to her.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, anytime there was a concert and all of us were there, those were some of the happiest times of her life.
Yeah, and yet she was no stage mom. I mean, she didn't force
us. Not at all. Not at all.
But she was
not
just so
all.
Proud.
Yes.
So we're out doing this as this episode falls on Mother's Day. So tell me, well, around Mother's Day, most of the world this week celebrates it. So do you have one main memory, one thing that you always think about Mom, or something happens that always makes you think of her?
There are so many memories, and, you know, I listen to your podcast all the time.
I know
you don't have enough time in the day to hear the memories of Mom, but what I want to tell you is one time, Mom loved to go out to eat, and one time I took her to Olive Garden, and they were super busy, so they didn't have regular seats. Well, I said, it's okay, we'll sit at the bar.
Ooh.
And those of you who know my mom, she's not the tallest of people. So we went over to the bar, and she sat down, and she ordered an iced tea, and I ordered a cocktail.
You mean she ordered a Long Island or just
no,
a
regular?
Because Mom was not a drinker at all. When she had a sip, she'd be done.
She was not like we were back in the 80s, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because we ended up sitting in a booth. And because Mom's not really tall, you know, she was like sunken in that booth. When the cup of iced tea came, the cup was so high, she had to tell the waitress, can you please get me a little cup? Because I don't think I can drink out of this cup. And then she started laughing hysterically.
Oh, my God.
Anybody who knew my mom knows my mom had the most contagious laugh.
And when she had a laugh attack, she wouldn't stop laughing. Yeah.
When she had a laugh attack, she was like those of you who know Carlos really close, it was just like him. You would laugh and laugh and laugh until you almost fell down. So she had a great personality. She was such a caring mother. When I became a mother and made her a grandmother, she was so happy. She would give me advice and I would listen so carefully because I knew what a great mom she was and how what she was saying was going to make a difference in how I raised my son. So I really paid attention to her advice. I always asked her about things. Also, she used to always say the cutest thing. When she was talking to my son, she would tell him, "I love you more than I love your mother." And then she'd start laughing hysterically.
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. And you know, what's so interesting is that you're the only girl. And Thank goodness you were born.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think mom and dad would stop trying until we had a girl. And I love George and Louis, but I didn't want seven of us. So, you were like very special to her because she always wanted a girl.
And, you know, about being a girl, it was funny. When I was pregnant with Tyler, I was 38 at the time, and I had to have an amniogram because, you know, at those ages, you could have a lot of complications with your child. Uh-huh. And when I had it, I told my mom, you know, I'm so nervous. I hope the baby's healthy. I hope everything, you know, and I hope it's a girl. And she said, "Don't worry, it's going to be fine." And when I got the results, I called my mom and I was in tears. And I said, "Oh, mom, what am I going to do? I think this is my only chance. And it's a boy." And what she said to me was, "You know what? At least you're lucky, you know, beforehand, because now you have all these months to get ready for having a boy." She says, "Can you imagine how I felt when Louis came out?"
Because me, George, she thought it finally will be a girl. Sorry, Louie.
Yeah, so that's what she said. And she, you know, brought me down from my depression. And then she and I went shopping for adorable baby boy clothes. And, you know, now I'm so happy I have a boy. You know, it's just great.
Well, you know, it's so good. Louie is aware of that story, so yeah. We're not surprising him here. But I'm so glad you could do this. Of course, we could go on for hours with memories and reminiscing things we've done with mom. But I'm so glad you are a wonderful mother, so
thank
she
you.
Taught you well. And you're one of my greatest supporters forever. And you've never given up on me. And I'm so grateful. And let's enjoy, like I told George, both of us, Mother's Day kind of winch when she went, because it's not the same.
I feel
but
that
you
way.
Are lucky, though. Because
I
have a son, so you're a mother. So Mother's Day is still special to you as a mom because your son treats you beautifully.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you.
And
it's a pleasure being here.
Enjoy this the week of Mother's Day.
I will.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. From Connie Marie to the man that was actually mom's official roommate. Because after dad's passing, Louis was getting tired of the L.A. lifestyle. He had been living in Los Angeles for some 15 years. You came back to Northern California and you moved in with mom. Listen, folks, this is a special moment because Louis is the only one of us that always tries to avoid the limelight. Yet you're here.
Yes.
Here because of your love for mom. Thank you, Louis. What thoughts do you want to share with us about mom?
Well, as we all know, everyone that knew mom, you know, she was a very generous person, very caring. always willing to put her two cents in and more. You know, she always had something to say. You know, she was always, wanted to know what was going on and always wanted to make sure that her kids were doing well.
Yeah. When you first came, you were actually thinking that you probably were going to just temporarily live with mom, but then it worked out and you stayed.
Yeah, it did. And it actually was beneficial because then mom needed help. And it was good that someone lived here with her because, of course, Connie has her life with her family, so she couldn't be here all the time. So it did help out, you know, and mom really appreciated it.
Yeah, you were like the the caregiver of mom and so on. Yes. So the other until we got the official live-in lady after she got worse. But now you say you love taking her to the store.
Well, the thing is, I didn't necessarily love taking her to the store. We went to the store once, and her sister, of course, our aunt Maria, went with us. She was here visiting at the time. And we went to Walmart, and we were all in the store. And then they kind of, I was getting things because I do the shopping because my poor mom can't do it. And so, you know, I was here, and then they disappeared, and I was looking for them. And then I heard a commotion, and the people from the store, mom can't see very well. And she was looking at something, and then the whole rack fell apart. It fell down to the floor. And then Aunt Maria went to go help her, and then she slipped and fell down.
Oh, my Lord.
And then, of course, you know, now it got to the point that we had to take care of her and so forth. And they pretty much, we had to leave. And after that, I decided I never wanted to take her to the store again.
But you did most of the shopping.
Of course, yeah. I did all the shopping and everything.
And that was because, as we should let the folks know, mom developed macular degeneration.
Yes.
Good 12, 15 years before she even got the cancer diagnosis. The good thing is when she was diagnosed, she was already 85, 86. So she chose not to do anything about it and just waited out. And it was very lucky because she really only had about 3 to 4 months of actually the illness.
Yes.
She was lucky. So she went fast and didn't suffer much like some that suffer from cancer real bad for years.
Yes.
And, but she couldn't see. So I think at that Walmart story, she was she was so close.
She was looking for stuff and really close to it. And I guess she grabbed something and then the whole thing fell
and the
over.
Whole thing came down. And then you also say that the rain.
Yes. One thing that she loved, she always loved to see and hear the rain. You know, she would sit by the door and hear it come down and really liked it when it hailed and the noise. And she just really liked to see it. She did not like that people had to drive in it and, you know, get in an accident and so forth. She did care about that, especially us, you know, they have to drive on the freeways.
Yeah, she was afraid of us driving in the rain, but she loved it when it rained.
Yeah.
And I think it's mainly because where we come from, the islands, we're from the Azores. It rains all the time. It's like Hawaii.
And she really appreciated going out.
Yeah.
And she liked us taking her to the store and going for car rides, very much like our dog Leo. You know,
so, you know. Those of you that know me, I travel everywhere with our dog Leo. And Leo loves the car rides. When we go to Palm Springs, think by the seventh hour when we do one pit stop, the last thing he'd want to do is get in that car.
Yes.
He rushes to the car because
and when I lived in L.A., as you've mentioned, Carlos came with all of them. Came with my mom, with my Aunt Maria, Tia Anna that lived with us for a while too.
Yeah.
And they all went to L.A. and they had a great time. And you know it was kind of hectic because I had to have all of them in my little one bedroom apartment.
No.
But they really enjoyed the time.
And to this day, now she's gone. But we all brag about you're a great chef, although you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
but you did the best, what was it, chicken cordon
bleu? Yeah, chicken parmesan.
Chicken parmesan, yeah. And she bragged and talked about it, the best one, even when she had it at an Italian restaurant. It was never as good as Louis. Well, you know, Louis, I'm so glad you did this. And now that I'm mostly, since the shutdown, spending time here, now I'm your roommate. Yes. Most of the time. And and of course, when in Palm Springs, I think you miss me a little bit. So, so thank you so much. Yes. Folks, it's been, Louis, I really appreciate you doing this because you're not, I guess, George can be a ham, me, I guess, in a way, Connie, but you're usually shy and people don't realize you were part of our first band and you were my stage manager for so long. So thanks for doing this. Okay. And it's been a joy to remember Mom with my three special people. If you'd like to hear my own feelings on Mother's Day and feelings about Mom, please go back and listen to the episode dropped on May 11th of 2021, titled A Song for Mom. You can hear that again and hear my stories about my feelings of celebrating Mom's Day with Mom. I hope you'll keep supporting the podcast, folks, by sending a gift to buymeacoffee.com/Carlos Avalon. It'll be truly appreciated, and it'll keep this going. And with thanks to Brother Louis, Connie Marie, and Brother George, that's it for now. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again in 2 weeks for another episode of Carlos Avalon, My Music, My Life.
Now each night I sit and pray that you'll come back to me someday.